'Tis the season
for holiday guests to arrive.
Macy's Backstage to the Rescue.
It's our go-to place when we're expecting visitors.
Remember how we could never find
the perfect turkey platter? We didn't.
Yep, well, they seem to have exactly what we need.
With new finds every week.
You know, Macy's Backstage really helps make family tradition special.
Yeah, like when Aunt Mildred tells us we overcooked the turkey.
Again. Well, at least this year it'll be on a great platter.
Macy's Backstage, savings for everyday life. Details at macysbackstage.com.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Classroom Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Listen to it this way. Praise the Lord, everybody. Surely we want a fresh fire to fall on us and burn out everything, Lord, till there's nothing left but you. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we are so grateful to be on the show today. And we thank God for just each and every one, those that will be calling in, logging in, those that will be listening to the broadcast later. We're so thankful for your support and for you logging in. We pray that this word will fall on good ground and that it will bless all those that are here. And you'll hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. That song was by Prashia Hilliard. The title of that album is Live Out Loud. Go buy it, especially for all you alto singers like myself. It's a good key. You can sing in it. That's what I like about it. But anyway, I thank God for just being here today. There's so much going on in the world today, and I'm telling you, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get right to it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy and for your grace, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, just for your hand of protection being around about us. God, we're asking you today, Lord Jesus, to touch everyone that will hear this broadcast and let this word fall on good ground, Father, that the people may hear it and begin to live according to your will and to your way, Father. Lord, I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, just to bless the families of the church, of the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, where 26 people were killed and so many more were wounded. God, we ask you to touch those families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, we're asking you to bless those that are in Vietnam that are facing the typhoon, God, and bless them, Lord Jesus, Lord, and cover them, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those, the families of those that lost loved ones this week in New York City on that bike path, Father. We ask you, Lord, to bless those families and cover them with your blood, Father, and comfort them as only you can. God, we're asking you, Lord, to bless those that were affected by Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Maria, Lord, that are still without power, still without water, still don't have what they need. God, we're asking you to supply their need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, let us give our hand, Lord, that we can be a help to somebody. Father, and that they will know that they're still loved and nobody's forgotten about them, God. Somebody is in the hospital today, Lord, and they need your help, Lord. The doctors have given them up, but, Lord, you're a doctor that's never lost a case, and we're asking you, Lord, for mercy today. We're asking, Lord, for your healing virtue to fall on them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to touch all those with these mental disorders, oh God, that these people that are going and doing these evil acts, Father, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus right now, hallelujah. Satan, the Lord God, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking you, Lord, to touch the minds and hearts of people. Lord, we ask you to bless our homes all around about it. We rebuke child abuse and spousal abuse, and we rebuke child molestation, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch all people that are going through so many things. People are going through divorce. Children have been lost. They've lost loved ones and family members. Comfort, Lord, as only you can. We plead the blood of Jesus today. We're asking you, Lord, to get into every situation. We rebuke violence on this week. Lord, we ask you to bless our military, Father. Lord, our first responders, oh God, our police officers, God, all the FBI, the CIA, all of those people that have to come in, our firemen, God. Touch them, Lord, and cover them with your blood, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to bless our teachers as they teach school and the children that are coming, oh God. We rebuke every evil act that will try to raise its head, oh God. But, Lord, you said you've given us the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So we come against it today in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you, Lord, that we are victorious in thee. Bless our pastors and every man and woman of God that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Cover them with your blood. Strengthen them as only you can. Oh, God, we rebuke the enemy that would dare come up against the army of the living God. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to move mightily upon us, oh, God. Let us get into our place of authority, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify, we magnify your name today, Lord. Bless every school bus driver, every bus attendant. Cover them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the enemy that will try to stir up violence. Lord, we come against it in the name of Jesus, in the name that has guaranteed us an answer. Jesus, 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 we call on you right now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah. Glory
praise
to God.
The Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'm just excited today about Jesus. I'm excited about him. I'm telling you. I thank God for being saved. I thank him for calling me and saving me at a young age. And just all the years that he's kept me, I'm so thankful today. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord, I thank you. Let's see. We're going to get to it. I tell you, the Lord, I'm thankful for our topic today. And I was in the middle of the night last night, sometime or another, I had one subject, and then I got into it. I said, oh, that's going to take us a long time to get through all of that. So I'm going to start with what I started at the beginning, and then we'll get into the other as we go along. But I want to talk today about complaining and murmuring and grumbling and how to win that battle over that. And then my subtopic is complain and be hindered or praise and prosper. That's what we're going to talk about. Because we got to get a handle on how we respond to things and how we allow things to the enemy to push us into conversations and into speaking things out that are not what God would have us to say. And it's because God wants our conversation to be that of praise and thanksgiving and truth and trust and those things that are positive things, because those are the things we need to be speaking over our life. Sometimes we get in circumstances and situations, we can be in it so long that we start murmuring and we start complaining, not understanding that if we are murmuring against what's happening at that time, but we could also be speaking against our future. And so we got to reel all that back in, and we're going to learn how not to complain and how to use our mouth for good things and to praise God and to lift him up so that we can move on in our lives. Some of us are in our middle age, and some of us are millennials. We got millennials. We got all kinds of things going on, generation X, all them generations. But anyway, we want to be able to speak good things so that we can begin to results, and not so much as still, you know, just being so frustrated about the things that life is bringing us. And so I want to start out just talking about, you know, the complaining, murmuring. I'm going to talk about Israel today because, you know, what better example that we have before them and how we can relate it even to our lives. And then we're going to end up with some 10 things that will help us to overcome those things and how we can begin to consciously begin to think about doing differently and speaking differently and knowing that God is in control at every stage of our life and in everything we go through. He is in control. And if we will allow him to just take us through the processes and the things Jesus said over in John, I think it's 16 and 33, he said, in this life ye will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. And so we got to understand that Jesus has already overcome the world, and he told us we were going to have some stuff to go on. But we got to understand, but to be of good cheer, because he's already got it handled. And so, and that's easier said than done, believe me, because I'm one of the, this lesson is teaching me as I'm studying, it is teaching me. And I'm becoming more mindful of the things that I'm saying and that I've been saying and repenting for stuff that I said and, you know, just all this kind of stuff going on, but I'm thankful for it. So we want to talk about, calm myself back down so I can get this out. But anyway, I started with a couple of scriptures, and one of them was Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, and I just want to read it, and then I'm going to get down to what I'm going to talk about. But it says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth and from the produce of his lips. And this is the New King James Version. Lips, he shall be filled. But death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. And then John 6 and 43 in the Amplified says, so Jesus answered them, stop grumbling and saying things against me to one another. And I thought about that particular scripture because how many times, you know, do we grumble against things, not really understanding that we're grumbling against the process or murmuring against the process that we're going through, that we're really kind of grumbling against God. We're complaining against the process that he's taking us through. Because anytime God takes us through something, he's taking us through that through it so that we can be, we can mature, we can be really what we've been praying for and what we've been asking God for. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. And then I want to read James 3 and 5, and it says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Now, our tongue is one of the littlest members of our body, but it can set a flame and burn a whole forest down just by what we say. And then the thing about it is, not only that, it can cause some situations now and even in our future, because what we say can affect our now and can affect our future. So we have really got to be careful what we speak over our own lives and what we also speak over others' lives, especially with those with children. You know, what you say, you know, sometimes when they're little bitty and you say, oh, he's so silly, oh, he's, oh, you just act, look at you, little stupid, you know, saying things that we think is cute, but it's not cute. Those things we got to be careful of because we don't want to raise those types of children. So we got to be mindful of the things that we're speaking out. And even when the doctors, anybody says, tests anything to us, we got to be mindful of what we're speaking out. You know, maybe the doctor said, well, this person's been diagnosed, somebody's been diagnosed with cancer. So then you don't go tell all your friends, well, doctor, I got, or don't say I got anything. You say, well, that's what they say. But I believe the report of the Lord, which says by his stripes I'm healed. Those are the things we got to say and remember that as we go along. And so, and then, when I think about the complaining is a sin, period. It is a corrupt form of communication. Complaining opens the door of the enemy. Complaining can cause us to have a disconnection with God. And if we say, so our words, we got to remember, our words are like little containers of power. And so if you're complaining and grumbling and murmuring, those words carry destructive power. That's what they carry. Just like praise and thanksgiving and positive things, they'll carry positive results. So if you're speaking out, complaining, murmuring, and grumbling type things, then that's what you're going to get in your life. But if you speak praise and thanksgiving, then those are the things you'll get in your life. So we got to understand that. And so the complaining, it says, it destroys the joy of the one doing the negative speaking. First of all, when you think about it, if you ever think about it, and I've thought about it a lot, you know, of some of the things that I've said and some of the times when I've been frustrated and I start saying this and start saying it, it really does destroy the joy that you might have had if you had not. And not only does it affect you, but it affects the people listening. We got to understand as the children of God, as his children, that we are atmosphere changers. And when we allow our tongue to be instruments of negativity, we set a negative atmosphere. So we got to understand it. So if we are atmosphere changers, we want to, when we walk in the room, we want the lights to go on. We don't want darkness to fall.
Yes.
We want to be children of light and not children of the darkness. And so those are some of the things that we got to think about. And so these corrupt forms of communication, murmuring means a subdued or private expression of discontent or dissatisfaction. Grumbling is to complain or protest about something in a bad-tempered or typically muted way. And then complaining, of course, is express dissatisfaction or annoyance about the state of affairs or an event. And then I thought about even whining, how sometimes it seems like we just, sometimes I know I feel like I have been whining, just complaining and crying about stuff. And so anyway, so these forms of corrupt communication can poison one's future. When we complain about what is going on right now, we tend to stay in the situation hindering us from moving forward, and not only in our present, we're stuck in a place, but we are hampering with our future. So then that brings me to the children of Israel, of course, who complained over and over and over again. And so the Bible recorded 14 records and incidents of them complaining and murmuring and grumbling and the effects of that behavior, what it caused them to stay in the wilderness and going around that mountain for 40 years. And all but two of them died in the wilderness, and then, three, because Moses didn't die in the wilderness, but he did die on that side of the God let him see the promised land, but he was not able to enter in. And so we think about, when I think about that, Israel complained and fought against God every step of the way. And so, and we tend to get in our own ways of our own blessings because of our thinking and us thinking that we know more about what God has for us than what he does for ourselves. God is in control. We have to remember that. God is in control. And so if he's allowing it to happen, it's for a divine purpose. It is not just for him to be saying, oh, let him go through something. No, he's doing it to work something in us. And so the first act that they recorded as one of their complaints was, it says, the people complained to Moses that because of him and his talk and promise to Pharaoh, to the promise, talk of the promised land, Pharaoh made things worse for them. And that's when they began to have to make bricks without straw and all that stuff. But what was interesting, I found interesting about that first complaint was they were the ones that were crying for deliverance. If we read over in, let me see if I can get this on my, this little writing today is a little much, but hold on just a minute. I'm going to the second chapter of Exodus. And starting with the 23rd verse, I believe, is where I'm going, or 22nd verse. No, that's not it. No, it's the 23rd verse. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So they had begun to cry, Lord, deliver us. Lord, save us. Bring us out of this situation.
And so many times we ask God in our prayer time, we're crying to God, Lord, make me a vessel unto honor, sanctified in me for your use. Lord, you told me to covet the press best gifts that I may prophesy. Lord, you told me, you know, we go through all this. Use me in your kingdom, Lord. Use me for your glory, Lord. Do this and do this. And then when the test of that thing comes, we're wondering, what in the world is going on? Lord, I don't understand. What did I do? Lord, what am I doing? Lord, I'm so, and we get to going through all of that when we ask God to put us in a better place with him so that we can be used. I don't know what we were thinking when we want to be used, that we wouldn't have any test and trial to go along with it. Because if you're going to really minister to somebody, you got to have went through something yourself in order for that person to really sometimes receive what you're even saying. If you don't have no testimony, you haven't had any test, you can't have a testimony. So here they were. They would cry out to God and ask him to deliver them. And then when the deliverance process began, then the next thing you know is that they're complaining and saying, well, Moses, we told you just to leave us alone, and we don't want nothing to do with that promised land, because now look what Pharaoh's doing to us because you're going to him. They begin to go through that process, and they begin to complain because sometimes we don't like the result of the process, but we want the prize, but we don't want to go through what it takes to get the prize. And I think that's what causes us sometimes, our people to murmur and complain and get frustrated because they're not really clear. But one thing I think we have to understand is that when God gets ready to take us to the next level, he got to stir, like Bishop said, he got to stir the nest so you'll be willing to get out of it. Otherwise, you'll just die right there in the nest when that's not the progression of the baby eagle. The baby eagle's in the egg, he gets out of the egg, and then he's in the nest. Then eventually he got to get out of the nest and he got to learn to fly. So it's a process with everything. And so we got to understand that when we're going through process, that we can't complain our way through it, but we have to come to a place where we begin to thank God for the process, because what does it say in Romans 8:28? All things work together for the good of them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. So what it is, it's everything, every good thing and every bad thing. It's all working for our good. It's all to bring us to a place that is going to be able, so that we can be able to use by God. So then the next complaint they talked about was the people complained and said, Moses, let us alone. They said, we are going through so much because you keep going up there to Pharaoh. Just let us alone. and sometimes we want things, but we like, Lord, do I have to go through this? Is this what I got to go through to get higher in you? Jesus went through a whole lot on our behalf just so he could be lifted up and so that he could save us from our sins. And so look what all he went through. And if we look at the apostles and the things that they went through, because they were ambassadors for Christ, look at the things they went through. Some of them were sown in summer, and some of them was crucified upside down, and some of them were stoned, and some of them, it was just all kind of stuff happening to them, all for Christ's sake, because they were preaching the gospel, and they were doing what God was giving them to do, and they were using the gifts and talents that God had given them to use, and because they were doing that, these other things were coming upon them. So we not so much in this day and age being sawn asunder, and we may not be get crucified upside down, even though there's all kind of crazy stuff going on around us. But, you know, those kind of things. But the things that we're going through in our time zone, in our time period, are just as detrimental to us, or just as, like they were during that time, is what I'm trying to say. Does anybody have anything they want to say so far, thus far? So then the people complained about the bitter water. They talked about that. And this, you know, is when you're facing bitterness or changing things in your life, sometimes, you know, we complain about that. We got to make these changes. And all of these things are going on. And so we begin to complain about these things. And then they complained about being hungry. And then God gave them manna. Then they complained again. And God gave them
quail, and then they complained about being thirsty, and God gave them water. And, I mean, it was just one complaint after another complaint after another complaint. And then it says the people forsake the Lord. The Lord orders the Levites to kill 3,000 people by the sword because they worship the golden calf. So that's in Exodus 32 and 28. And so at that time, you know, Moses had been up on the mountain for 40 days, and so the people got weary, and they said, well, you know, let us make us a God. Where is God? Let us make us a God. And sometimes we are asking that, where is God? Where are you? And then sometimes we end up sometimes making people into God. You know, let me get to my prayer partner so I can have her pray for me. Oh, let me get to so-and-so so I can have them give me a word. You know, and all of those things, and we're making these things into God when we just need to go to God.
Amen.
Yeah. If I don't never get hold of the prayer partner, I can go straight to heaven. Jesus made that possible for us.
Amen.
The priest used to be they had to go. The priest could only enter into the holies of holies once a year, and he would take all the sin for the sins of the people. We ain't gotta wait for that. Anytime you need to go to God, go to him. He said you can be bold and approach the throne of grace. Christ made it possible. When that veil tore in the temple, it made it possible for us to be able to approach God. That we don't have to have nobody take the prayers to God on our behalf. We can go to God ourselves.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. So we don't have to make our own calf. We don't have to do that. We got access.
Mm.
That right there is a blessing. Just to know that we got access.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then the next thing they did was the mixed multitude of the people complained about the food. And then the Lord burns the outskirts of the camp, and Moses wants to die. I mean, Moses was wanting to give up because they was getting on his nerves so bad. And then Miriam and Aaron complained against Moses' leadership. How many times have we complained against leadership? Well, I don't understand why the pastor don't do it this way. I don't understand why the pastor chose that person. You know, we got to be careful of all these things because those are the types of things that will keep us in the place instead of us going, you know, being, you know, one thing Mother Gwen, I always remember Mother Gwen saying this. She said, when you see people get blessed, go on and praise God with them. Even though you still might be waiting on something. You might be waiting on your, but somebody else done got blessed, get on right out there and shout. They shout, you get on out there and shout with them. Voice with them. Because you're waiting on your blessing, but you're going to be happy about somebody else getting blessed. My mother, you have no reason to be jealous of nobody. Because whatever you want, if you work hard enough, you can have it. Same thing with God. We don't have no reason to be jealous of nobody. If we pray and keep ourselves in alignment with the word of God and what God and be obedient, he said, if ye be willing, this is Isaiah 1 and 19, if ye be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. That's what the scripture said. So I don't have to be jealous about so-and-so getting no blessing over here. Mine is on, it might not be here right now, but it's on the way.
All right, now.
That's a blessing right there. We don't have to be upset that somebody got promoted before us or somebody got pushed ahead of us. We don't have to worry about that. Our set time is a set time. And when our set time, God is going to push, he's going to propel us into the place of our blessing. He's going to lift us up into the place of our next level. We got to think like that and not worry about whoever else is getting blessed or whoever else is getting promoted. We don't have to worry about that. I think about what my mother says all the time. You ain't got to be jealous about that. If you work hard enough and do what you're supposed to do, you can have what you want. And then the Bible supports it because he said he's my shepherd and I shall not want. So it means I won't have any lack in my life. And even though it might look lackish right now, I don't have any lack in my life. That's my confession.
Praise God.
Yeah,
amen.
I got to go on what truth says and not on what the fact is. The fact might be producing this, but the truth says something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we got to start thinking about things. And I'm telling you, you got to consciously be thinking about it because the enemy will creep in real quick if you let him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will.
Yeah. He'll creep in there real quick. But you got to be, no. I'm not thinking that way today. I'm not going to be that way today. I'm staying focused on what God has for me. The Lord said we just got to continue to put the word on it. If you can't think of nothing right then, Jesus is always a good word to put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just call on his name.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. And so they complained and they complained, and the people complained about how difficult it looked to enter the land, and they refused to enter in. So they sent the spies over. 2 came back with a good report, and 10 came back with a bad report. And so who did they believe? The 10 with the bad report. Now, you done went through all of this stuff. This is what's interesting about this whole story. And we got to think about our own lives and what stuff we went through and how we got to a place, and then we refused to move, go over, cross over because of fear or because of doubt or because, oh, I done got too old. We think about all these things. Well, my thing is right now, this is what I tell myself, it don't matter how old I am. If the Lord keeps stirring that up in my spirit, then go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, but what you got to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. If he's the one stirring it, he's the one that wants it to be done. We have got to begin to think like that. And so that we won't continue to just sit in these little shells and not get out. We got to move forward past all that. So here they had done all of that. They've been through all of that. They seen all them plagues in Egypt. They saw how they came out in with a mighty hand. They had borrowed everything from the Egyptians, and they got to bring all of the gold and all the silver and all the riches of Egypt out. And then they still didn't make it to the promised land. That's deep. And here they had another chance to cross over. And because they viewed themselves as grasshoppers, they feared the grapes and the giants, and they saw all of this stuff because they had been used to Egypt. I'm telling you, they said this today. They've been used to what they saw in Egypt. So they came out physically, mentally they stayed in. Today we got to pray that we come out. When we come out, we come, all of us come out, our mind, our body, our soul, and our spirit.
Amen.
So we don't want to look back and yearn for the leeks and onions, but we want to go after the grapes that are in the land.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the land? What's in the promised land? That's what we want to go after. And so then they did that. They complained about that, so they lost their right to even go across to the promised land. So they continued to wander and wander and wander around in the wilderness until they started dying off.
Mm-mm.
Then the leaders rebelled against Moses. And then this was, then the people complained again, accused Moses of killing God's people. And it was just one thing after another. And each time they complained like that, Moses would intercede for the people, so God just wouldn't take them out, because he could have just wiped them out. They was getting on his nerves, I'm quite sure. If he had nerves, you know, if it was like that, that's my terminology about it. But, you know, I'm quite sure that God was, he was getting tiring of the people, but Moses would intercede for them. Then the people contended with Moses again because of no water. And this is what got Moses into trouble. Instead of Moses doing what the Lord, he told him to speak to the rock. But they got on Moses' nerves, so he hit the rock again. So it's like he was crucifying Jesus afresh. And then what happened after that, and here was their last complaint, and I want to talk about this just a little bit, and then we'll go on to those things that can help us to overcome, because I want to make sure I get to that. The people complained against God and Moses in Numbers 21, verse 4 and 5, and God finally brings a solution. He brought the fiery serpent to bite them. And then he shows them their sin nature, because he was trying to show them that because of that murmuring and that complaining and all of that stuff they did, that those were the things that were causing, those, that was the sin that was in them. Those were the things that were causing them the problems that they were having. So and their words were poisonous. And their words were biting. That's what the words. And how many times do we hear people, or even ourselves, have said things that might hurt somebody, that might really be biting to them or poisonous to them? And so we do that, and that's that sin nature there. And then God finally gives them a taste of their own medicine, what he was doing. And so he was letting the serpents bite them. But then he told Moses to put the serpent up on the pole. And he wrapped around, and then you know how we see many doctors. You see a doctor, you see that serpent on the pole. And then he told them to walk past the pole and look up so that they could be healed. So he had mercy on them. But then what that represented was, what it did represent was, is that same way that serpent was lifted up, Jesus
lifted up. He said, I'll draw all men unto me. And so that the Jesus being lifted up on that cross and us looking up to Jesus on that cross is the thing that is saving us, that has saved us, and we're saved from sin because of Jesus Christ. And so we got to think about that. Does anybody have anything they want to say so far?
Elder Bryson.
Yes.
While you was talking, it sounds really wonderful. A word came to me was unbelief. The children of Israel, of all the things that God had done and they had seen him do all miraculous things, they came up with, you can look at them having a spirit of entitlement because they came through. Once they got through, they felt entitled when God was giving them grace and mercy and providing for them. The spirit of entitlement of which we sometimes find ourselves in today. But when we look at the reason why we go back and look at, fall back on our past, where we came from when God let us encounter some difficulties, it's because unbelief. So we today, we have the Bible. They didn't have the Bible. We have those examples. They didn't have that, but they did see the promises and miraculous wonders, wonderful works of God. We know about that, and we see things that have happened today. And so we above all, are inexcusable, and we should not find ourselves in the spirit of entitlement. And if we do, we need to humble ourselves, because when we fall into entitlement, we are not trusting God. We have fallen into unbelief. Because
yes.
But the word already lets us know that he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he brought you through the difficulties 6 years ago, he brought you through that, and now you're facing something today, and you have forgotten that he did that for you, and now you're looking at the circumstances, because that's what the enemy would do to us, cause us to get distracted and focus on the circumstances that we are facing instead of saying, okay, God, this is it. Like Jesus said in the garden, if it be thy will, you know, let
yes.
the cup pass, but if not, I'm going to do the will of God. That is the attitude that we have to take on. Those are the words that need to come out of our mouth so we can overcome unbelief. We need to repent so we can start fresh. And we need to admit and come clean with ourselves that we have faltered and we have failed. And now, God, forgive us and help me to walk in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Because if not, every time we get a blessing, every time the children of Israel is brought out, eventually they had to face another situation, the same way we today. If God deliver us from one situation, we have a nice moment, and everything get good, we get comfortable, then when another challenge or situation comes, because it's time for us to grow, we fall backwards instead of taking it, accepting it, that the Lord is with me, and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I'm just thinking, when you were thinking about that, the word unbelief just dropped in my spirit, and the spirit of entitlement. When God blesses us, we often take God for granted. The children of Israel took God's provision for granted, and we should learn from that. And when the enemy tricks us and gets us out of focus, we just need to repent, as I just said, and we need to get on the right path to God and go focus and say the things that even if we don't see it with our eye, we're calling those things that are not, and those are already where, and those are already here, because if God said it in our spirit, that settles it. And then that's how we're supposed to walk in it, whether we see it or not. And the people and the naysayer, the reason why they couldn't, the 10 people, the 10 and the people that didn't believe when they went in those went into Jericho and they came back unbelief, because they couldn't see the promise because they didn't have a vision and God punished them. We don't want to find ourselves in that situation. We want to have all that God has for us, so we want to stay on the path that takes us into victory. And we know every time we have a victory, another challenge is coming. It's the devil, that he's not going to be content. And God wants us to grow because he has purpose and destiny for us. So we've got to go through this journey so we can get to where we're going. The enemy wants us to stay stuck. And that's why we got to watch what we say so we won't cause our own self to be stuck and be complaining about the situation. That's a trick of the enemy. And then we start hanging around people that talk the same way we talk. They complain, and now we got a complaining party. We want to get away from that and grow among it. We want to be the tree that's growing and standing up above them and going on so God can show us and lead us in the direction and the path so we can be all that he wants us to be and we can have all that he wants us to have.
Yes. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Anybody else got anything? Well, that's a blessing. Thank you, Elder Timberlake. That was a blessing.
Yes, it was. She hit the nail on the head with unbelief, because
yes.
That's what complaining and murmuring gets you.
Yes.
Complaining leads to it leads to so much. The thing that it leads to is it follows a couple of things, but the one thing that I feel that it leads to is despair.
Yes.
That's dangerous.
Amen.
That's dangerous is because despair is emptiness. Despair despair means you have no more hope.
Yes.
If you look up despair in the dictionary, it says something to the order of a loss of hope. Well, if you lost hope, what have you lost? You've lost God, because our blessed hope. So it's very dangerous to murmur and complain. One thing I thought about when Elder Bryson was talking about the spies that went in and the 10 came back and gave a false report. There is something that they did. They offended God. Watch
yes.
this. They offended God because they said we were grasshoppers in their eyes. What did God use to try to get Moses to let the children? Didn't he call the grasshoppers in?
Yep. That was one of the plagues.
Reason why he did that. Because locust is a sign of death. Locusts kill life.
Hmm.
It would have been better if they said they saw them their play themselves as ants, because the Lord respects ants. He does not respect locusts.
He just said over in Proverbs, he sure do. He talked about the ant.
Right. He respects the ant. He does not respect locusts. They offended God
yes.
by putting themselves in the place of locusts, a thing or an insect that takes life. Because when the locusts come, they destroy life, the life of whatever was planted.
Yes.
They have Woo. Left things. They eat so much that they leave things desolate.
Yes.
That's an awful place to be in. Amen?
Amen.
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 Ooh. So they had put that. Oh, that was good. I got too excited. I don't know. I got to give a playback, okay? Because I was thinking about going back. We have got. So it's so much. It's when you really begin just what Elder Timberlake, what Elder Dotson said, what's been said. And if we think of it from that way, we got to change the way we're doing.
Amen.
We gotta be not to murmur, complain, and grumble about things, and really keep make a conscious effort to change our behavior.
Elder Bryson, with that said, remember they should have made that trip in 11 days, but because
yep.
of unbelief, it took 40 years. The same way with us. If we take an inventory of ourselves, sometimes we say, I wish I'd been further and I've gotten too old. But if we do a reflection, we might have done some complaining and murmuring that hindered us, that has stuck, caused us to miss something. But now we got to speed up the time because we've been wandering and going around,
exactly.
and now it's time to go forth.
Exactly.
And we got to remember from that so we won't be making the same mistakes again. Let's go forward.
Let's go forward. And eventually God told him, he said, you have been around, you have encompassed this mountain long enough.
Yes.
That's what he told him. But that generation,
Amen.
We don't want to die.
with that generation. We want to be like Caleb and Joshua. We want to go on over into the promised land. And we got to think about it. Joshua at that time wasn't no young whippersnapper by now.
And neither was Caleb. But when the kid said out of his mouth, he said, "We are well able
to take the land. We are well able.
Because out of their mouth, they spoke faith. God honored their faith. Where the other 10, they spoke unbelief and doubt. And he said, as Elder had said, they offended God.
Yeah.
And we do not want to offend God.
We don't want to offend God. So no matter how old you are, you're well able.
Yes.
Well able.
Well able. We well able. What did David say when the giant was? He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine when it come before the army of the Lord?" He was like, "Who is this here?" He wasn't afraid of him. He's a little something. He said, "I ain't afraid of him. I got God on my side."
No, that's right.
You know, and what he was saying was that I don't even recognize him.
Yes.
And that's what we have to say. I don't recognize that. That's not a part of who I am. That's not a part of who he is. All I recognize is that I can do all things through Christ.
Glory to God.
Me. Amen.
Amen.
You know what? I think that if we as believers, when we come up against the Philistines, let's say our enemy, and we could just say, "Now, who are you? Who do you think that you're up against?" Because they're not up against us; they're up against God, because He's our deliverer.
Yes, that's it right there. They ain't coming against us. He wins every time.
He wins every
time.
If we would believe it, we would be walking around the mountain 40 years. What's taking us so long is because of our disbelief, our disobedience.
Yeah.
Our trusting in self instead of trusting in God.
Amen.
Yeah. We're looking at what we think we can do. But if God, and it's like even I think Bishop says today, he said, if God gave it to you, then all you got, he told us to write that stuff down. He said, "Just write it down. Don't be talking about what so-and-so dropped out of, so-and-so did do this, so-and-so did." It don't matter what so-and-so did. They ain't God.
If God be for you.
He's more than the world against you.
All right.
Oh, that's good.
If we have the faith to believe,
yeah,
God will turn that around, and He will turn it around. But during that period of time, He's teaching us to learn something. It's a lesson for us when we walk through difficult times. It's a lesson for us to learn.
Yeah.
And once we learn that lesson, we're able to walk on through, move the enemy on by the wayside.
Yeah.
What do you say? He'll make the enemy our footstool.
That's what He's saying.
Well, Jesus had to go to the cross. How do we think we would be exempt? We got to go through something. Jesus, divine as He was willing to go through something so He could show us by the feeling of our infirmities that He felt what we were feeling and had an understanding of what we as humans are going through. If He had to go through something, then I know we need to think twice. He's God's beloved. We don't have to go through something. We just need to deal with it and man up to it, as they would say, or warm it up, and get on board. If we say we love God and we say we accept Him as Lord and Savior, and get on that path and just be, as Elder had said earlier, be more consciously minded what's coming out of our mouth. What we let the enemy put in our ear, just because he put it in our ear, we do not have to say it. We can rebuke it. We can denounce it. We can put it back under our feet by the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, because God has given us the authority. We need to use the authority that we have been given.
Yeah.
Amen.
I was going to say, we need to always be mindful of what comes out of our mouth. And just give you an example. A little friend of mine that I've been knowing for years. I was listening to my sister. That I've been knowing for years. I hadn't heard from her. She had been calling this other lady, and I said, this lady just came and just cried on my shoulder all the time. And I was kind of like saying to myself, you know what I mean? Why she didn't get in touch with me. That lady took me off on Facebook. I didn't hear from her. So I know this lady went back and told her what I said, but I didn't mean nothing. One little misquoted word can destroy a relationship. And you don't mean anything. It can just destroy. So we have to be so careful, especially us, because, see, I think the enemy just blows ours out of proportion.
Yes. Somebody else could have said the same thing to them. They didn't think nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You think nothing about it.
So I'm telling you, and I want to read this passage of scripture. And I've kind of printed it in several versions because I think it's we're getting past them. But anyway, I'm gonna have to finish it. But anyway, let me read this passage of scripture. And this is Ephesians 4:29. Because so this is what I want to. I didn't want to end with this. I wanted to kind of get into the things that we need to use to combat it, but I think our time is running out, and that's fine. But anyway, Ephesians 4:29 in the King James Version says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that
mm-hmm.
which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then in the Amplified Classic Version, it said, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor to those who hear it. This is how important the words that come out of our mouth are. This is how important it is. Then in the Living Bible, it says, don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to, and what will give them a blessing. And then finally, then the NIV says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then one more version is the Message Bible, and it says, watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. And so these are the things we have to really take under consideration, the power of our words. Our words
mm-hmm.
are powerful. We got to watch what we say. And
they
to
are.
Think about, like I said earlier in the other lesson, we got to think about the creative power that our words have, because
mm-hmm.
God said, and let there be, and it was. And so words, God was letting us understand the power of what comes out of our mouth, because whenever God spoke, it just was. Nothing, it wasn't no question about it, it was. And so we have to know that he gave that, and that's why he focused it. I think it's like 80 some scriptures in the Bible that refers to the tongue. And so it counts the ones that refer to words, but we got to be careful about what we're saying. And I'm going to briefly, because our time is really running out, I'm going to briefly just give the topics, and we'll come back and talk about them in more detail later. But the 10 practical ways to stop complaining is, one, to realize how dangerous complaining is and how much it displeases God. If we just get that in our thought pattern, that will help us to change the way we are thinking about things or saying things. The next thing is to keep your focus on God, not your circumstances. So like what it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So if we keep our mind stayed on the God and our focus on God, then we won't, our circumstances will come secondary. Because you got to understand, the storms of life are going to come, but the way we go through them, if we go through them like Jesus did when Jesus was on that boat going through the storm, he was down there resting. He wasn't thinking about them winds and waves. He was down there resting because he knew he had power over it. And so if we think about and focus on God instead of our circumstances, things would be better. And it says that, some scriptures focused on that is Romans 8:28, Philippians 1:6, and then Isaiah 26:3.
And then the next thing is you are an ambassador of the Most High God. Don't forget that.
Amen.
We got to remember whose we are, and we are God. So we are ambassadors. Like they said, we are living epistles. So people are looking at us. We're that next chapter of the Bible. You know what I'm saying? That has not been written. So we got to think about that. We're ambassadors of Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:20, Matthew 5:14, Matthew 5:16, and Philippians 2:14. And then the next thing is be a part of the solution and not the problem. So when we are complaining with the people, we become a part of the problem. But when we begin to praise God instead of complain, we become a part of the solution. So we got to think about that. Be a part of the solution. Take responsibility. Some of this stuff we've kind of navigated in ourselves. So take responsibility, repent for it, and begin to operate differently so that we can be what God is calling for in this time. And you can look at Genesis 3:12, Proverbs 19:3, and then Galatians 6:7. It says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Then the sixth thing is count your blessings. Be thankful, be grateful. Be thankful, be grateful. Count your blessings. Everything. Even if they're saying they're going to foreclose on the house and then you still in it 2 years later, be thankful. Don't get worried. Be thankful. You got to be thankful about it. And then the seventh thing, think good and positive thoughts. And, of course, let's remember to start by thinking good thoughts and thinking positive thoughts. And what will that happen? That will show up in our conversation. If we're thinking the right thing, so renewed mind is important. If you
Amen.
Think the right and if you think good thoughts and positive thoughts, then it will show up in what you say and do. And so read Philippians 4:8 and Romans 12:2, and then speak positive words. Speak positive words. Make sure what you're speaking is positive and not negative. And even when you speak to people, be a people builder and not somebody that tears people down, but build them up and not tear them down. So we got to be careful of those things. And then if you can read Matthew 12:36, Ephesians 4:29, Philippians 4:8-9. And then the ninth thing is do everything unto the Lord. Do your best. Do everything unto the Lord. If we remember, whatever we do in word and deed, we do it in the name of Jesus. Make sure we do those types of things so that we can make sure that we are doing things unto the Lord. When we're on our jobs, we got to remember we're on our jobs. What we should do, how we should act, how we should work is unto the Lord. So if we keep those things in mind, we'll be doing. And if people are bothering you at work, people are doing stuff trying to come against you, put the word of God on it. Don't go into all that back and forth doing all that. One thing I've learned, if you put that word on them, and you begin to say, quote the word of God on them, I'm telling you, they're going to leave you alone. Especially if they call themselves a Christian, they're going to back up because they fear God. If they don't fear nothing else, they might not be thinking about you, but they're going to fear God. So put the word of God on them. And then watch and see what happens. And then the next thing is we got to pray, we got to trust God, and we got to obey God. And if we do, those are just some of the things we can do to deal with changing our life, being from a life of complaining and murmuring and grumbling, to be more thankful and more trusting and more, in the worship God more, in the praise God more, so that we can turn up, instead, I remember somebody say, turn your worries into prayers, but turn your complaining into praise and let the praise come out of your mouth and not so much complaining. Does anybody else have anything to say? Then I'm going to ask Elder Dotson if he will do our invitation to Christ, and then I'm going to ask Elder Russell, if she will pray us out. Elder Dotson, anybody else got anything they want to say before we do that?
Lord, all that have said has been so good. One thing you have to keep in mind, that if you don't murmur and complain and you always have a positive attitude toward the things of God, it makes you considerate in the mind of God. What did he say about Job, when he was talking to the enemy? He said, have you considered my servant Job? You want to be considerate. And if he's considerate, and if you're considerate in the mind of God, then he's concerned about you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We'd like to make a call out to anyone that does not know the Lord, anyone that feels that they've gone too far and can't come back. You can come back.
Yeah.
He is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And we want you to pray this prayer with us. Oh, Lord, I am tired of the life I'm living. I'm ready to make a change. That is a repentant state when you say, I'm ready to change, because that's what repentance is. I'm ready to change, Lord, and I want you to change me. I know that you died for my sins, and you resurrected to give me life so that I don't have to sin again. I thank you for that. Now come into my heart and abide with me, and I shall be all that you have called me to be. In Jesus' holy name. If you prayed this prayer, we believe that you are saved. Now what you need to do is get yourself to a Bible-believing church, one that teaches the Word of God, so they can build you up in the Word of God so you'll never complain or murmur again. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we come to you tonight in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you tonight for an awesome word, O God, to help us, O God, sift ourselves, O God, that we may leave the residue of sin in that sifter, O God. Father, help us to be humble, O God, and not think of ourselves, but think of others first, O God. Lord, let us cast our cares to you, Father, in every situation, God, that we may be free, Lord, as a light shineth, Father, that we may be a witness to others, O God. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight, Father, for those words to help us, O God, on the following week, Father. But we know your word does not go out void, Father, and we're just so thankful, God. Thankful for salvation, Father. Thankful, Father, that our end is with you, God. We're just so thankful to know that we're not alone, because you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us, Father. I ask you, O God, today, bless those that are listening, Father. Bless those that participated. Bless our leader tonight, God. And we're just so thankful to come together one more time in your name. Let this week be prosperous. Let us think about the word, Father, and let us put action upon it, Father, and we give you alone, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, we thank everybody for joining us today, and we will see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls. We're going to pick up where we left off, and we'll go back over the things, just to reiterate that as a go in, and then we're going to start talking about the tongue and all this stuff and various types of tongues, a lying tongue, or, you know, all the ones, self-absorbed tongue, just all the things the tongue is used for. We're going to get through that, but each time we're going to come back, we're going to talk about the things that will help you overcome those things as well, and so that we can begin to make sure that what we're putting out is a solution to those circumstances or those problems that we might have with using our tongue, and then we'll start using it for what God is intended it for. So that's how we're going to continue on. And then we'll keep going until we're finished with that. And then after that, I'm thinking I'll be finished by the end of the month, and somebody will be somebody else's turn. Amen. God bless
you
all.
God bless you.
See you back here next week on the Prospering Soul.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bless you all.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Okay.
I want to show you my first ever painting.
All right.
Okay. Open your eyes.
Oh, that's a lot of colors and shapes.
So be honest. What do you think?
Well, I like how if you switch to Geico, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Here, why don't I hold your paintbrush while you call them?
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.